No, you're good. Hello, my friends. Welcome to On Point with Rachel Turgeman. I'm so glad you can join us tonight. My friends, elder abuse, believe it or not, is happening more frequently than we can ever imagine. And that is totally unacceptable. As a matter of fact, one in every 10 Americans age 60 and above, and that's very young, age 60 and above have experienced elderly abuse. And to make matters even worse, and what seems to be more even appalling, is that there's some studies that are showing that one out of every 14 elder abuse cases are being reported, only one out of every 14, to the authorities. Again, that is not good. Joining us tonight is somebody very, very, very special and highly educated, Ms. Guadalupe Rodriguez with Home Care. Guadalupe is an exceptional human being. She heads over the counseling department at United Home Care, coordinating the psychotherapy services for the older adults, for the caregivers. She's a proud graduate of social work at FIU. And guess where else, my friends? Scholar Fulbright graduate from Tulane University. Hey, I love that. She has taught at FIU, and she also has taught online courses from Boston University. She enjoys local, national, and international recognition for getting involved with community-based organizations that serve the elderly populations, that serve parents, that serve victims of domestic violence, as well as substance abuse victims. Everybody loves her. She's gotten so many accolades and awards for being a leader in home health care. Welcome. Welcome, Guadalupe, to On Point with Rachel Turgeman. How are you?
Wonderful, Rachel. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. And thank you for inviting me tonight to speak about elder abuse, a very important topic, particularly during these very difficult times. So absolutely. Thank you. And thank you to your viewers. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you.
Yes, thank you so much. A big shout out to all our viewers. I want to also begin by giving a shout out to your president and CEO, Carlos Martinez, because obviously he got together with you and, of course, your community liaison, Blanca Ceballos, and you guys wanted to cover elder abuse. And when you said that, I said, yes, let's do it. Now, recently, a few months ago, we had a conversation with Blanca Ceballos, and she did a stellar job in explaining to all our viewers all the wonderful programs that you provide for our older adults. But like you said, tonight, we want to concentrate on older adults. So let's begin so that we're all on the same page with our listeners and our viewers. And I say listeners because I have a big surprise for all of our viewers tonight. Guess what, my friends? This show from now on is going to be on your favorite podcast, Spotify, Google, Amazon, iHeartRadio, and the list is enormous. So Guadalupe, everybody's going to listen to you, whether it's in LinkedIn or whether it's in YouTube or whether it's in Facebook, they can catch you in the podcast as well. So that we're all on the same page, Guadalupe, talk to us about how would you define, from an expert type of realm, if you will, elder abuse?
Yes, Rachel, I think it's important for us to understand the Florida statute definition because that's what we are all accountable to, and that's our point of reference. And let me read that. Abuse means any willful act or threatened act by a relative, caregiver, or household member that causes or is likely to cause significant impairment to a vulnerable adult's physical, mental, or emotional health. Abuse includes acts and omissions. I think it's very important. It's not only what is done, but what is failed to do. So It includes both acts and omissions. And we know that, yes, abuse can be physical, emotional, financial, sexual. It can also be neglect and exploitation.
So, let's break it down, the definition. Mm-hmm. So you're saying, from what I'm gathering, I'm sure that our viewers want to really get into this. So abuse can be intentional. So intentional to do harm, whether physically, as you mentioned, or whether emotionally or financially or sexually. Okay, so it could be the intentional or maybe failure, from what I'm hearing from your definition, failure to act. Exactly. So that if I know that someone is taking care of an older adult, and they're failing to get them their medical supplies. They're failing to give them their medicine. They're failing to get them the equipment that they need to survive. Then that is considered elder abuse, Guadalupe?
Yes, yes, that would be neglect. Neglect to provide them what they need, their medications or their medical follow-ups, or even their daily needs, taking a bath or their nutrition, their food. So failing to provide something that they need for their well-being would be considered abuse by neglect. Also, mm-hmm. the financial failure to access their own funds. There might be taking care of them. They might be doing the errands. They might be providing for them, but the family member doesn't have access. So even though they're doing things, but by neglecting to provide the access to their funds or by deciding on their own without in agreement with the family member, that is also considered abuse. So there are many aspects, and it's very important for us to understand each and every one of them.
I understand that. And what I'm thinking, you're mentioning the financial exploitation. So if we are older adults and somebody in our family tries to withhold our own accounts from us, and if we want to spend some money and they don't let us, that's criminal.
Right. You know?
And it just doesn't make sense. And that's why I love United Home Care. And I give you guys lots of blessings. And of course, your leader, Carlos Martinez, because it is mm-hmm. your agency, United Home Care. And for all of viewers that are watching us here in the United States, as well as globally, internationally, you know, if you don't live in South Florida, you need to find a United Home Care, if you will, a clone of United Home Care in your country or in whatever state you're watching us from. Because United Home Care, and later on, we're going to talk about again, of all the services that you provide, you take care of our elders, of our older adults. And so when we get back to the physical abuse, you know, the physical abuse, and this is what I always talk about with my friends and many of our powerhouse members and many of the dignitaries throughout our communities, you know, the physical abuse, you get hurt, sometimes you have to go to the hospital, it's horrible. But what about the psychological abuse, Guadalupe? Talk to us.
Exactly. The physical abuse is the easiest one to recognize. It's apparent, and you can easily tell, you know, there is abuse when you see a wound, when you see a burn, when you see a bruise. The emotional abuse, the one that happens when there's yelling, when there's screaming, when there's even demeaning the person, when humiliating the person, even withholding affection, that would be considered emotional abuse. It's an emotional neglect, if you know, to explain it better. So the emotional abuse, and you manifest it, the person might become more isolated. They might already have depression. It increases the level of depression. It increases the level of anxiety. They might be intimidated. They might be fearful. So it's a little, you know, it's harder to identify, but it's prevalent, and it's very important to identify it.
You know, as I hear you speak, and I'm sure that a lot of our viewers would agree, you know, it sounds like it's inhumane. You know, we know that domestic violence is a crime, and so is elder abuse, you know? And so when you have a beautiful human being, because it's a privilege to get older, let's face it. And I'm sure that all of you that are watching right now, we have a lot of older adults watching us, you know, mm-hmm. we love you older adults,
yes.
you know,
yes,
we do. And it's a privilege to, and a blessing to get older, you know, but with, you know, integrity and dignity and with all the resources and all the things that we rightfully deserve as human beings. Now, let's talk a little bit, and we'll return back to some of these signs. Let's talk a little bit about the perpetrators of violence. Tell our viewers, share with our viewers, Guadalupe, who are these people?
Rachel, it's the statistics show that 90% are in the domestic setting. You know, there's institutional abuse committed by caregivers. It's formal and informal, but by far and large, it's the informal, it's the family members. And it might not start, it might not be intentional. They might be dealing, you know, with chronic illness for many years, they're exhausted. They don't intend it, but it happens. That's why, like you highlighted, it's so important to get the community support. And that's why, you know, all of us at United Home Care love what we do. I do see our role and our work as preventing elder abuse, because it's providing the supports that they need. We also talked about another aspect of abuse, which is self-neglect, when the person is too ill. They're physically too frail to be able to provide for themselves. They can't care for, you know, they can't have a place that is clean. They can't even bathe themselves, or they can't feed themselves accurately. That is self-neglect, not because intentionally, it's because physically they are too frail and can't provide it.
But so, if that happens, Guadalupe, if you have an older adult, you know, a mother or a grandmother, so on and so forth, and there's somebody in the family, the household, that sees this and they have to go to work, then they need to contact somebody like you from United Home Care to make sure that are loved ones, you know, because how could you, I can't even fathom going to work. My mother unfortunately passed away and we had tremendous help for her around the clock because we could not fathom me living with her, especially me, you know, to leave my mother alone all day. I had to work because by then my daughter was little and I had to provide for both of them, you know, but I made sure that we had somebody like United Home Care here at the house. They helped her with the bathing. They made her meals. They fixed her bed. They did laundry. They clean. I know this is what you do too. This is what United Home Care does too. Yeah. But I can guarantee you that if my mother was alive today and I knew back then what I know now, which is United Home Care, I'm sure I would have been with you because I see the love that you guys exude towards the older adults. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yes. No, thank you. Yes, they definitely reach out because the services are there and they're quality services. The staff is trained. They know how to provide the services. They're supervised. So it's very important. Self-neglect occurs a lot with clients that have no family. So that's why it's so important, you know, when the community agency comes in place and identifies the self-neglect, and then it's reported, and then, you know, Department of Children and Families follows up and sends the referral to the agencies to provide the support services and resolves it. So that's why it's hugely important what you're stating. You know, reach out to the community agencies because we're there, we're trained, there's the resources to provide that support. So that elder abuse does not keep occurring in our communities.
Exactly. And as I hear you speak, Guadalupe, and I'm sure that our viewers can relate to what I'm about to say. You know, there's a old saying or a dodge or cliche that it says that it takes a village to rear our children. Well, viewers, it takes a village to watch over our older adults. And so I can only imagine, Guadalupe, so many older adults, like you say, that don't have family members. So our neighbors have to be vigilant. You know, we have to be vigilant. We have to watch one another so that we can make sure that they have everything possible that a human being, you know, like Maslow's theory, you know, you're a psychotherapist with Maine, Boston, everything graduate, you know, talk to us a little bit about Maslow theory and how important the hierarchy, how important is it to our older adults and to anybody for that matter?
Definitely, you know, the basic needs, and then we go all the way up to the higher emotional and spiritual needs in order to have a well-being. So we need, you know, we need to provide those services. And I can tell you, we at United Home Care have heard over and over, our home health aides become family to them because they are out there almost every day, if not, or three times a week. And they are the only contact, particularly during these difficult times. And a shout out to our home health aides.
Big shout out.
We're all scared at some point with everything that we hear on the news. And yet they show up every day to provide the services that the client might not be able to provide for themselves. Bathing,
and I
dressing.
Can imagine, Guadalupe, when you have the home health care aides coming into the households with our older adults in it, it's like watching an angel. Wow, you got it. We're here. Great. Welcome. Come in. I can just imagine, you know, an older adult receiving them with open arms, without a doubt.
Yes.
Talking about your staff, I know that you have the home health aides and you also have skilled nurses that come out and oversee your home health aides. Talk to us about your nurses.
Right. We do have our Medicare department that has registered nurses and supervisors. And not only do they come out to the field to supervise them once they are in the home, but we also train them. It's our nurses that train them before they even go out. We're providing the 40-hour training at currently free of cost to anyone interested in becoming a home health aide. So we encourage people who have lost their jobs, who are interested in serving older adults, to call us. the nurses train them, and they're trained on CPR. They're trained on how to help them transfer from the bed to the chair, how to bathe them safely to ensure not only the family member's safety, but their own, to not hurt themselves in doing so. And so that they can also teach the caregivers that are with their family member 24/7. So our nurses are the ones that oversee the care of all of our clients and train our home health.
And what better than the nurses, Guadalupe? I mean, they're skilled. So it's perfect. You have the home health aides, and then you have the nurses. Talking about staff, when they go out to the homes, okay, because obviously they're not there 24/7, if they recognize any signs of elderly abuse, what are they instructed to do from a United Home Care perspective?
Yes, it's a very important question. All of our staff, all of us, are trained in elder abuse, all the aspects of elder abuse, and how to identify it. Once they identify it, then they reach out to their supervisor and report it. Either if it's a home health aide, a case manager, a clinician, a nurse, whoever identifies it, immediately contacts our office, their supervisor. The case is staffed, and then the decision is made in to call it in. And it's important for us and staff, but also for the general public. It's not required that we are 100% sure. What the law requires is if we suspect. So if we suspect, and that's why the staffings are important, because we staff the case, and then we identify, yes, this needs to be called in. And then the private investigator will go out and identify what is happening, what are the needs. It doesn't always end up being punitive. It actually ends up in a referral to provide the support services to resolve it. And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do, to provide the supports in place so that we don't see the elder abuse or the self-neglect, and that they get the services that they need.
Beautiful. Let's take a few seconds to thank all our VIP advertisers, and we'll be right back to you. I'd like to begin with Jewish University Systems. Thank you so much for being a VIP advertiser, Dr. Jorge Alfonso, Lucy Alfonso. Thank you. Jackson Health Foundation, making miracles happen every day. People traveling from all over the nation to get seen by the amazing doctors at Jackson Health Hospital System. And Jackson Health Foundation is the fundraising arm. And I'd like to give a big shout out, of course, to our next advertiser, because she is now the new Jackson Health Foundation chairwoman. Jose Milton Foundation, Anna Vega Milton, congratulations on being the new chairwoman of Jackson Health Foundation, and of course, for being the president and CEO of the Jose Milton Foundation, doing wonderful things for philanthropy all over Miami-Dade County, Broward, and beyond. We love you, Anna Vega Milton. Florida Blue provides outstanding and affordable health care for you. Give them a call. Magic Waste Youth Foundation, Rudy Bustamante, Armando Trabanco. There's so many people I'd like to mention here. Christina, Wilma, Rebecca, thank you so much for taking care of our foster kids. Nicole Alvarez, an amazing attorney. She'll be back with us this year coming up, which is really around the corner, to talk about immigration. We have Derek Christian Morales, an amazing attorney too. He will be with us next year as well. And he's going to be talking about personal injury. Sapozic Insurance, who's joined forces with World Insurance, giving you all kinds of insurance, commercial, residential, healthcare, employers. Give a call to Sapozic Insurance. And of course, Light of the World Clinic, Elaine Maselli Vasquez. Thank you so much for creating this particular clinic in Broward County, providing economically disadvantaged families with insurance free of charge. Catholic Hospice, thank you so much. A big shout out to everybody at Catholic Hospice. Jessica Joseph, thank you for doing a fantastic job. Diana, giving love and nurturing as our beloved ones are going to another frequency of energy. And we're going to make sure that they're giving all the assistance and the love and the comfort that they need during those very difficult times. And of course, we're talking to Guadalupe Rodriguez, who's doing an amazing job as heading up the psychotherapy department for United Home Care. Big shout out to Carlos Martinez and to Blanca Ceballos as well for supporting us in a very, very special way. Survivor's Pathway, Francesco Duberly, Dr. Francesco Duberly, sexual assault, domestic violence, human trafficking. Thank you to all our VIP advertisers. We love you so much. Mm-hmm. Guadalupe, so let me get into again, we talked about the staff, and thank you so much for training them to making sure that they recognize these signs and they seek help right away. whether it's what I like what you said, Guadalupe, before we turn, you know, we said hello to all our VIP advertisers, is that they should not be afraid to speak out. When in doubt, talk. Like you said, if there's nothing wrong, fine. But at least you took the opportunity to sign the red alarm there. What do you have to say about that?
Right. That's the assessment. It's important. We cannot, you know, we cannot not, once we have a funny feeling that something's wrong, we need to follow up with that to ensure the well-being, because if we see the signs, it means something's happening and it needs to be resolved. Exactly. Reporting is not just punitive, it can resolve the issue. And that's, you know, that's the importance, at least from my perspective as a social worker, what I see, you know, identify and put the supports in place, or sometimes it ends up that the family member needs to be removed from the home and placed in a setting, whether a nursing home or an assisted living facility, that they can be adequately taken care of. Whatever. Sometimes it's not intentional. It might be a family member with mental health issues or with physical issues or with both that is totally overwhelmed and cannot do it. So there are many, many issues involved. The important is to identify it and report it so that the family member gets the services and supports that they need to ensure their well-being.
Okay. So for the normal layperson, okay, that's watching, all our viewers, and they're very interested because many of us do have our parents still alive. Unfortunately, I don't. And it's horrible. I mean, this is the worst thing that could happen, is losing a parent or both parents.
I know.
But while we have them alive, we have to give them everything. Okay, so for the layperson, for the viewers that are watching, you know, some corporate executives, just people watching us tonight and listening to us, what would you say are some of the right up front red flags? You know, things that we as lay people can recognize and it would just ring a bell here.
Definitely the physical, like you mentioned, is the easiest to recognize if there's broken bones, if there's bruises, if there's wounds. And that's why when we report it, you know, and the private investigator comes out, you know, there's a medical evaluation. Is this disease or is this abuse? So the physical is very easy. The emotional, when there's isolation, when they can't access family members, when they don't have their phone, they can't contact family. That is a red flag. When the person reports that they do not have access, that they haven't seen their checkbook, those are the red flags.
You mentioned the financial exploitation issue with the checkbook. How can we deal with this aspect of it? Because I know it's happening a lot. And yes, you know, we can notify the police, we can call the elder abuse line. In your opinion, this is horrible. It's really cruel, the financial abuse. If there's any older adults right now watching the shows that they feel, and we put the number up there several times, that they feel that they're being abused or they feel that they need United Home Care, when we get a chance, we'll ask production to put the number out again. What is your opinion about how can we stop financial abuse?
Well, I think we can stop financial abuse and elder abuse by doing exactly what you're doing, educating the general population. I think we have public health campaigns we're seeing right now with COVID-19, the masks, make sure you wash your hands. I think it needs to be a public health campaign. It's 23% of the population that are elder. It's a huge section of our population. And people don't intentionally, or they don't identify it as abuse. The first thing is to get it out there. These are the things that constitute abuse. So educational programs, kudos to you and your program for putting the word out there, because it's very important. And then what we do one-on-one, social workers, we do it one-on-one. The interesting thing is that family members don't identify it as abuse. For example, they might complain, I would like to have cash I don't have. And we empower them to have those communications. And they say, well, you know, I don't lack of anything. They do my groceries. They pick up my medication. They do everything for me. So they don't identify it. So another important piece is to educate. That's the work that we do, case managers, social workers, counselor, as we go out and we say, you know, yes, they do a great job, but this is your need. And so we teach them how to assertively communicate with their family member and say, this is what I need. So at least the first step is to establish those bridges of communication in hopes that it is resolved. And if it's not resolved, then we need to report. And we tell them.
Right, Guadalupe? Because, yes. You know, I'm sure, because I remember years back, We reported her. I remember an older adult that was being taken care of by somebody, and they would go shopping, okay? Go to any store, buy the groceries, but they would always make the bill bigger than what it really was. That's stealing. Exactly. If I went to the grocery store and spend $100 and I'm charging the older adult $150, that's stealing. Well, I mean, I'm sure that our viewers would agree with me. Exactly. You know, I'm not forging their signature. You know, exactly. I do understand that maybe some of them cannot sign. Maybe you're an expert on dementia. What do you have to say about the dementia? You know, older adult with dementia, then what happens?
Well, with dementia, the caregiver usually, if you know, they might have legal guardianship. They might not. But they manage all the affairs because if the person is not cognitively intact, they can't manage their money. So, with dementia, we're speaking about another level of care that is very complex, and definitely the caregiver is the one in charge. And hopefully, the family as a team have identified, and as a team, if there's several family members, will oversee the finances. Hopefully, they have dispositions, powers of attorney in place, but you know, sometimes it happens and it's not. So that's why the community agencies that go in, the social workers and have these conversations can identify and then, you know, set the correction in place, report the abuse and have it resolved.
Would you say, Guadalupe, that the main factor here, I think, that binds us as a glue is trust?
Yes.
Being able to trust your caregiver. And what I like about your philosophy, and of course, your president and CEO, Carlos Martinez's philosophy, Blanca Ceballos, Alina's, everybody's philosophy in your administration, is to build that trust, to saturate, to ingrain in your staff's minds that they have to be trusted, that they have to be loyal, that they have to be honest.
Yes.
Because if we're all honest and trustworthy, then our older adults will have everything that they need to survive. Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Exactly. You know, there we need to have those ethics and personal ethics. And, you know, our staff is background check. We all have level 2 background check. We're trained and you know, that's the first, in order to provide the services, in order to be able to go into the home of the client, they need to feel that trust in us. And we need to feel that trust in the family members also. So it's creating that circle of trust that will provide the well-being of the member. But it, you know, and I do want to say there are many caregivers out there that are doing an outstanding job. But every so often this happens, and the intention is to educate, to resolve, not to educate, to create conflict.
Guadalupe, because I know that under Carlos Martinez's, you know, realm as the president and CEO, he has over 800 employees under him. And we're talking about case managers, administrators, you know, nurses, health aides, you know, nutritionists. I mean, that's a lot. So if the leadership starts from a top, and he's definitely set that leadership thermometer, if you will, to be loyal, to be dedicated.
Yes.
Talking a little bit about everything, what would you say, and talking to all our older adults that are watching right now, what would you say, what is the number one reason, or maybe number two reason, that they do not report this elderly abuse? The older worker himself or herself, why don't they report it? Talk to us.
Well, the workers that are trained do report. The family member many times has difficulty reporting because, like I said, they don't identify it as abuse. They justify it. They say, you know, I would like access, but you know what? They take care of everything.
So that's the way they look at it.
The emotional abuse. Sometimes, you know, caregivers work all day. They come exhausted. They have to take care of children. So they truly are exhausted, and there's no affection. Some older adults have expressed, you know, I feel like I'm a piece of furniture. I don't have any quality time. But then they excuse it. They say, well, you know, poor thing. She gets up at 5. She comes back at 7. Then she cooks. Then she has to deal with homework. So they justify. And then, so they don't identify it as abuse because this is a family member that is caring for them.
Well, let's have one now, Guadalupe, as we have the show and it's being shown everywhere, okay? Viewers, if you know anyone that's an older adult, or even if some viewers are older adults, please don't let anybody abuse you. No one has the right to abuse you. If you live in South Florida, contact United Home Care immediately, and they will make sure that you get the right personnel to take care of you with dignity, to give you love, to nurture you, to make sure that you have all your equipment, so on and so forth. Okay, so what about, you know, talking about, you know, these elderly people that are being abused? What are the long-term ramifications, Guadalupe?
The most important one, unfortunately, is, Rachel, that it has been documented that people who experience, older adults who experience abuse, have a 300% higher rate of early death. We know that many of our older adults that are in the vulnerable position, it's because they have chronic illness, but abuse just precipitates their early death. So it is a life and death matter. Ultimately, you know, whether it's emotional or physical, it impacts their health, their physical health, their emotional health, and causes. It's a cause 300% of early death. So it's very important. Sometimes they cut off family ties. They're isolated. It increases. So their quality of life, it's a threat to life, and it's a severe threat to their quality of life.
So as I hear you speak, Guadalupe, and right away comes into my mind, you know, you're immune, your body, it could probably goes down, your immune system goes down. You maybe can suffer from heart attacks, you know, if you're constantly being abused, your blood pressure can escalate, you know, from a medical, biological perspective. I mean, so this is horrible. We spoke about financial exploitation. You know, I just want to throw out a statistics to all our viewers that are watching. $2.6 billion. You heard right, my friends. $2.6 billion is what these abusers collectively are stealing from our loved ones, which are the older ones. You know, so this has to stop. Now, what would you say as a advice, if you will, Guadalupe, to all our viewers with regards to the amazing type of services that United Home Care provides? I know that Blanca went over it, but right now I want you to briefly go over them again and give them advice why these services are like water to their lives. Talk to us.
Right. It's so important when there's older adults that are frail, that are vulnerable because of chronic diseases. Sometimes it's not only one disease, it's two or three or four chronic disease that affects their ability to perform their activities of daily living. They need supports. So our staff, we start with the case managers. Of course, we have the supervisors, the executives under Carlos' leadership and all our executive team supervising the staff. The social workers go out and meet with the client or the family member and the caregiver, identify what are the needs, and establish a plan of care. If there's nutritional needs, they will refer to the nutritionist. If there's emotional needs, they will refer to the psychotherapist. If there's nursing needs, the Medicare department, if they're in the hospital and they're discharged and we get the referral, then our Medicare department can be contacted and do the follow-up services, providing physical therapy, skilled nursing services. And of course, our customer service staff, which are always available. And I see that you are providing the number to provide guidance, to put our clients on the waiting list. We have the home health coordinators you mentioned. Carlos has 800. We have around 850 home health aides who are directly in the field going out to the homes. We have about 60 social workers overseeing the cases and the plans of care. We have the home health coordinators coordinating all of the home health aide schedules on a daily basis, each of them, you know, coordinating the schedules by area, by times of need. So it's about 80 of each coordinator coordinates a schedule of 80 home health aides. So it's truly, truly in our outreach and community outreach program that puts the word out there that we're there and ready. We have over 45 years of experience. So it's really collectively a team effort, like you said.
It's a holistic team effort. You know, we're talking about companionship, respite. We're talking about you have a hotline for mental illness for people that are 60 and above. And it's a free hotline. You have a geriatrics hotline too. You know, you have a caregiver's hotline. You know, so, I mean, there's just so many services. United Home Care, you're number one in my book. And I'm sure that a lot of adults that are living here in South Florida, please contact United Home Care. And all of you that are watching us abroad or in other states, please find a United Home Care where you're at. I'm sure they exist. And if you need to call United Home Care here and get some advice, you know, ask for Guadalupe. I'm sure that you can get her on the phone and she will give you some advice. One more question that I wanted to ask you is about COVID-19. As you know, this has plagued 2020 to the maximum. All of us. It's taken a toll on all of us.
Yes.
That being said, what are the home health aides and your skilled nurses as they come back, and you as the psychotherapist lead director for United Home Care, how do you see our older adults coping with COVID-19 in terms of isolation? Talk to us.
It's tremendous. You mentioned thanks to the current, well, not thanks to the current situation, but really the opportunity open to provide mental health counseling over the phone, precisely because they're isolated. They used to go to daycares. We have seen since COVID started how quickly their physical health deteriorated just by the mere fact of being isolated. Mm-hmm. And they're terrified because over and over they hear in the news that they're the most vulnerable. So they're really with very much high level of stress, depression, anxiety. So those services, we have reached out to them weekly, contacting them with behavioral health. They're very grateful for that. We have the caregiver support group, which used to be in person. We continue that over the phone. And, you know, like you said, thanks to Carlos, that has challenged all of us to continue to be present, because they do need, they can't do it themselves, everything that they need. So they truly need the staff every day there to be well. So
And I'm so happy that you have a companionship of phone calls coming into our older adults, talking to them, because you know what, my friends, and I want to refer to all my viewers right now, loneliness is a very sad feeling. And as you get older, for some reason, you might feel a little bit lonelier. And I was reading that, unfortunately, as we get older, as you pass 60 and above, 29% of our elderly are feeling very lonely, and they increase prematurely their mortality rate. So what am I trying to tell to all our viewers? If you have an older parent or older grandparents, please pick up the phone and call them. Call them, tell them that you love them, use FaceTime, do whatever it takes, but show them that connectivity that we need, Guadalupe. We need that special connectivity. I know that we cannot gather right now because of COVID-19, but that social connectiveness is so important for all of us.
Yes, and I think every challenge presents an opportunity. And through this, we have been able, like what you're doing right now, educating and contacting, and we can see each other. We are blessed to have all the technology. There's no reason why anyone should feel isolated. It's just a matter of, like you, putting the word out there and then us responding to that call. Yes.
As a team. Well, unfortunately, Guadalupe, the time has flown. We'll bring you back early next year, God willing. We'll talk about different subject matters. Is there a last minute message that you would like to leave all our viewers with tonight?
Yes. Yes, Rachel, we have talked about what abuse is and about reporting. I would like to emphasize that it's our responsibility, every one of us, to prevent it and to show up. Our elders did that for us. And it's the circle of life. One thing is certain, we will all be elders at one point. And we are in the Christmas season. We need to give and show love. And the best is to show our love to another human being. I want to wish you, your program, your viewers, a peaceful, healthy, and safe Christmas, and that we can grow in love and care for each other so that we see elder abuse disappear, hopefully, one day. Thank you.
It will. Thank you, Guadalupe. We love you. Thank you for providing psychotherapy services to all our older adults. And to all of you, thank you so much for tuning in and to On Point with Rachel Turgeman. Please remember to subscribe to my YouTube channel at On Point with Rachel Turgeman. Keeping informed and staying connected allows all of us to make the right decisions. God bless you all. Please stay healthy and safe. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. May God constantly pour his blessings upon all of you, myself, and all of our families and friends. God bless you. Bye-bye for now.
No, you're good.